do your right to work and give you some things that you may have already noticed or maybe you didn't. This is from today's USA Today newspaper. And it's the front page article that goes on to their backup things. You'll notice on the little sheet in the fourth paragraph, it says that suddenly America is abuzz about gold plates and magic underwear, which I think I mentioned to you guys a month or so ago. Well, now it's on the front page of USA Today, fourth paragraph, abuzz about magic underwear. So it's no longer a secret. On the big page, you see a description of doctrines in that chart there with respect to the Trinity. The Mormons don't believe in any such thing. God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost are separate gods. Scripture, Mormons revere four books. Remember I told you about the triple combination?
Mm-hmm.
Add that to your Bible. Salvation, progress in the afterlife. Progress, so you're not ever complete. Progress in the afterlife depends on how faithfully one has followed Christ's teachings. Everyone will hear the gospel in this life or the next. Second chance salvation. After you die, you still get a shot. This is heresy of the first order. And your presidential candidate is a tither, which means in the last 2 years he gave them $4.1 million. That ain't chump change, you know that. And he goes on, the article goes on to say, non-Mormon ancestors may be baptized by proxy. And they get that in 1 Corinthians 15, baptism for the dead. Baptism is essential for salvation. So I've got me three gods, four Bibles, and a tank of water.
Plus.
And the Christians say, well, yeah, he's a good Christian. Joel Osteen has endorsed him. Franklin Graham has endorsed him. And it really doesn't matter, which apparently it doesn't. So I have that for you. And I was in the waiting room of a doctor's office and read every word. I could probably recite most of it back to you. This comes from Dr. Peter Sturgis Ruckman down in Pensacola, Florida. This is his Bible Believers Bulletin. And I've taken one article out of it and reproduced it for you, Modern Man versus Bible Believer. And I want you to note the date at the top right, February 2012. That's like next month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the middle section where it says continued from page one, go down to point number seven. Negroes will serve Europeans and Asiatics until after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Genesis 9, verses 25 to 27, Zechariah 14, verse 21. Dr. Ruckman is the one who taught this to Richard Jordan. Richard Jordan is the one who put it in the Grace Movement. No, February 2012. What was taught by the Puritans in 1630 is taught today, published today. So, people say, well, Brother McLean, you're this and you're that. No, I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm not hiding it the way you guys are. That's the difference. So, Negroes will serve Europeans. Point eight, Asiatics are to produce the Bible. Asiatics are to produce the Bible. Wasn't it given by God through the nation Israel? Aren't they referred to as in Romans chapter 3, what advantage hath the Jew much in every way? Yea, they have the oracles of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just Asiatics. See, what he's trying to justify there, what the racist tries to justify there, is now these are all the yellow people, and they're what they're in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
We've already taken care of the black people. They get to wait tables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Asiatics have produced the Bible, the Messiah. And all the world's religions, as if that's a good thing.
Yeah.
All the world's religions are tickets to hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So his oversimplification is just terribly wrong. And then Europeans, of which he is one, a proud German that he is, Acht Lieber, they get to run things. Europeans will conquer the material ground of the earth and control the means of transportation and communication, Genesis chapter 9, verse 27.
Wow.
Which will do nothing to halt the degeneration of human nature. It'll take a virgin-born Savior. Okay. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, folks.
Wow.
As fresh as today's coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Things haven't changed the way people would like to pretend that they have.
Yes.
And until there's open dialogue, until we trot this out and say, hey, let's put a bright light on this.
Yes.
Do you really mean that Negroes will serve Europeans when Romans 12 tells me we're all one in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go with that? And the Europeans, by that, don't you mean white folk?
Yeah.
I mean, Negroes will serve Europeans and Asiatics until after the millennial reign. And for that, he gives me a Genesis chapter 9. I've got a shock for you. In Christ, we're all a new creature.
Amen.
Acts chapter 17 tells me, I think it's verse 26, that he made us all out of one blood. And yes, Israel was segregated from the heathen. Not black Israel from white heathen or white Israel from black heathen.
Yeah.
It's just knuckleheaded.
Yes.
And it's in the grace movement.
Yeah.
Pastor Jordan has it in his school. Take his Genesis class. Go to tapes number 10, 11, and 12. And you'll get exactly the same garbage that Ruckman is putting out, because Jordan learned it from Ruckman.
Yeah.
Jordan's from Alabama. Ruckman likes to talk about Baymanette, Alabama. And Pensacola, Florida, and Baymanette, Alabama are maybe a three-wood apart. they're right close to each other.
Yeah.
So, don't give me this garbage.
Oh, better now.
Speaking of garbage. I'm in a mood, right?
Yes. Oh, this is so terrible.
We have the Wiener the World Awaited, a new translation called The Voice. And it calls itself a fresh translation. In the beginning, God created everything. The heavens above and the earth below. Here's what happened. At first, the earth lacked shape and was totally empty. And a dark fog draped over the deep, while God's spirit wind hovered over the surface of the empty waters. And then there was the voice of God. And you see, God, let there be light. If you drop down the page, you see it's in a screenplay format.
Yeah.
God calling to Adam. Where are you? Adam, when I heard the sound of you coming in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid from you. God, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree in the center of the garden? It's not in the center of the garden. The very one I commanded you not to eat from? Adam, pointing at the woman. It was she, the woman you gave me as companion for the fruit in my hands, and I ate. Nanny, nanny, tattletale Adam. So, what garbage? Published by Nelson. This is Christian Retailing Magazine,
yep.
And this book is promoted on a, what's called a double truck, two pages,
mm-hmm.
About $11,000 worth of advertising in Christian Retailing that goes to Christian retailers, bookstore owners,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I'm not a big reader, but when I read the voice, I spend 4 or 5 hours reading this evening. I can't wait to dig back in.
Dig into what? It's fine. There ain't no digging to be done here. So anyhow, I thought you might enjoy that.
Ooh, and you brought something special.
I was sent from the Thomas Nelson Publishing Company a promotional piece whereby this little booklet is called Jesus Revealed. It's a 40-day why did they pick 40 days? Let's see, what month is this? End of January. So you read this and decide to order them in early February and get them into your stores in March. And what then would coincide with 40 days? I can't think of a thing because I don't celebrate wins. But it's a 40-day discovery of scriptures, and each day is to give you a little tidbit. Day 2. I just love this. This is, I don't know what makes you laugh. This is enough to put tears in your eyes. Day 2. Born of a virgin. Now, the format is give you an Old Testament prophecy and show you then how it's fulfilled in Christ. Mm-hmm. You with me? Mm-hmm. And then you have a little thought for the day, and then it's kumbaya time. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, parentheses, Old Testament prophecy, in parentheses. The Lord will give you a proof dash sign anyway. See, a young maiden, parentheses, Greek, virgin, end parentheses. Hey, bright eyes. Isaiah's written in Hebrew. Good night, Nellie. How stupid do you think we are?
Pretty much.
The word's Alma. It can legitimately be translated young maiden, as it is in the RSV of 1941. And it can legitimately be translated virgin, as it is in your King James Bible. The King James people thought, well, Luke 2 says she's a virgin, so we'll go with that. Mm-hmm. So they put virgin because a young woman conceiving is a sign of sexual activity, not a sign of anything else.
Yes.
So for Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, why did they pick virgin over young maiden? Because the text says it's a sign.
Absolutely.
But help me out, tell me what the Greek says when the verse is Hebrew. Oh!
They're going to tell me somewhere in here that it's a scholarly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even know the languages, numbskull. Mm-hmm. So, a note from the publisher, it's a mess. Mm-hmm. Mess on top of mess.
Is that Greek or Hebrew?
That's in the original McLean. That's about half of what I got to bring you. I got another load for this weekend. I thought those were
nice.
And when I read Shem Hammond Japheth, and I thought you, he's 90 now, Dr. Buck.
Mm-hmm.
You old rascal. You have not changed your spots in all these years. And, you know, people have written to him. I'm where I've written to him. Harold written to him. We fussed with him for years. And what's disgusting, I guess, is that his racial prejudices apparently lined up with somebody else's, and that somebody else brought it to the Grace Movement.
Yeah.
All right. 1 Timothy, chapter 6, in verse 13. We're backing up and taking another run at when Paul backs up the pickup truck and just dumps a load.
He's been telling Timothy how to behave and how to run the assembly and what to look out for and giving him all these warnings and giving him all these things. And then I've got a couple of verses here that just put us awash with information about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd be wrong if I didn't deal with it. So, Paul then is giving charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and there's the big bang. And before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, Jesus knew what Pilate was thinking, gave Pilate the answer, and fulfilled prophecy in so doing. Paul's going to tell Timothy, keep your ducks in a row like that.
Yes.
And that thou keep this commandment without spot. Dealing, going back of the first spot in your Bible, the first healing in your Bible, has to do in Exodus chapter 4 with the removal of leprosy, when Moses was told to put your hand in your tunic and pull it out, and it was leprous and put it back and it's like a baby. So the rotting of flesh, that would be a good lesson. The rotting of flesh rather than the worshiping of flesh. We really do tend to worship the flesh.
Yeah.
And I don't know what internet server you use. I use AOL some, and I use Microsoft Explorer some, and I use Bing some. They all have ads showing up with naked people running around, or nearly naked people.
Yes.
It's all about flesh. I can remember making a statement one time, and there was an absolute scream in the auditorium, because I was talking about ladies with this new kind of eyeshadow that glitters and shiny and all of that kind of stuff. And I said, I happened to have lunched with the president of Revlon in New York City, and had models of that stuff. You know, there's hand models and face models and ear models, and that stuff is made out of fish scales. Ground up. And back there, somebody says, ah! She didn't know she was putting scales on her face. But anyhow, we just worship. We're just, we're enamored with our own flesh.
Yes.
Old Job, the devil says to Job that skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his own skin.
Yeah.
For his own. And, so leprosy, the rotting of the flesh, is a good figure. It's a good type. It speaks to the fact that what matters is what's inside of the flesh, your spirit, your soul. Because God saves your soul. He doesn't save your body.
Amen.
He's going to give you a whole new body. He's
Yay.
Not going to fool with you. We'll be way ahead, won't we?
Yes.
So Jesus then is referred to, which in times he was shown, as the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We talked about that last time as to why that terminology is there, because it's times plural. Who only hath immortality. Think about that. People want to have Jesus on a separate level from God, which that concept of denigrating Christ and making him a lesser God, as the New American Standard teaches in John chapter 1, verse 18, is so egregiously wrong, because where do you find life? It's in him. He is the person of the Godhead that created it all, and it all ends up in him. So don't be fooling with the Lord.
Yeah.
And he, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he, the creator of all things, he, the Lord of lords, he, the King of kings, he's the only blessed potentate. Now, a lot of human beings think that they are not only the potentate, they think that they are potentators.
Yeah.
And put the old apron on from the Masonic Lodge and put on the Masonic ring and the Masonic tie tag and the Masonic tie pins and cuff links and dude yourself up to be the potentator.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a lodge ceremony for any reason? I suppose not. But if you did, you'd see men wearing sashes. You'd see people entering, having a blindfold first before they're allowed to enter, and then they're passed on by the grand worshipful master, and all of those sorts of things going on. So humanity wants to be the grand potentate.
Yes.
When clerics call themselves reverend, they've stolen God's name. Not only that, there are those who call themselves the most reverend. God didn't even call himself that.
Nope.
So folks really are stuck with themselves.
Yeah.
Rather than that, I'm going to suggest to you, you can't be too complimentary, you can't be too laudatory, is a better word, of your Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God manifest in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead body, the creator of all things, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the blessed and only potentate. I was going to rent the farmer's grange on Dayton Senior Road. I didn't know a great deal about the farmer's grange. I thought it would be about farmers, plows and stuff. Mm-hmm. This lodge on Dayton Senior Road had, when I went in to rent it and make arrangements, I went during one of their meetings. And they had these desks all arranged, and they had some flags I'd never seen before. And everybody wore a sash like a Miss America contestant. Yeah. And there were lots of goofy hats and all of that kind of stuff. And I had to swear I would never kill anybody. I said, why would I want to? But I said, that's silly. And it was so sad. The youngest member in the farmer's grange was in his late 60s. All their sashes had been white, now had yellow edges. They were just, it was dead and dying.
Yes, it could burn.
And yet they're still playing the game. So, you got the wizard and the grand imperial whatevers. And now the ladies are just as good. They've got the POE.
The Eastern Star.
The Eastern Star's symbol is the Mendez Star, the Gota Mendez Star, the Upside Down Star. And you'll find that there are books of rituals.
Yes.
There are, and the thing that you, if you ever have a chance to look at, is a funeral service. Because you'll find that the funeral service is all about how the apron symbolizes the hard and the good works whereby so and so has climbed the ladder into heaven.
Yep.
No Christ within 100 yards of that.
Yep.
So it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can hang bells and whistles on humanity, and all you've got is leprous flesh, rotting flesh, and that's the point.
Amen.
So life, light, honor, power everlasting. What things to say about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
It's hard to say too much.
Yes.
Now, in the New American Standard and in the Jehovah Witness Bible, which shares the same Greek text.
Yes.
John chapter 1 verse 18 calls Christ a begotten God. A begotten God begets, there needs to be a mommy and daddy God begetting a lesser God.
Yes.
If somebody begets you, they were there first.
Mm-hmm.
That takes away Christ's creation.
Yeah.
And how sad. Jesus takes a position whereby he humbles himself.
He does not cease to be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If he's riding on a donkey or hanging on a cross, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
And don't mess with him. Immortality is found in him.
Yes.
When we're saved, the immortality that we have, we share his resurrection according to Romans chapter 8.
Yes.
When he freely gives us all things, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. My life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. The word is. Now I know we had a president of the United States who had trouble knowing what is. In his Monica Lewinsky mess, he said,
well, that depends on what the meaning of is.
Is means a present positive possession.
Yes.
So Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 does not say your life will be hid in God after you die.
No.
Your life will be hid with Christ in God after we bury it. No. It is now.
Amen.
So that's Galatians 2:20. That's Romans 6, 3, and 4. That's the newness of life in which we're supposed to walk.
Yes.
Have a nice day.
Amen.
Christ is the source. Now, it's important that after reminding myself of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, being crucified with Christ, I read the rest of the sentence and remind myself not to frustrate God's grace.
Yes.
How would I frustrate God's grace? By making it about me.
Yes.
By making me a potentate. Or a potentator. Tater sounds good. It's important, I think, to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ's mortality as a human being, and he did die, does not equate to his being mortal as God.
Absolutely.
You didn't kill God.
No.
When you crucified Christ.
No.
Jesus is ever and always. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Why would anybody fool with that? In Exodus chapter 3, you read in verse 14, as God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. The deity statement of Jehovah God. And he said thus, they wanted to know his name. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And he said, I am that I am. Always. Existing, always. So, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Now that's Exodus chapter 3 in verse 14. God, Jehovah, identifying himself as the I am.
Yes.
Here comes the Savior. And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. There he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. He's talking about his appearing to Israel. John chapter 8, verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus was talking about his pre-existence of Abraham.
Yes.
Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
Then took they up stones to cast at him. What triggered picking up stones? He'd already said his relationship in time with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am. He said what God said of himself in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God is saying of himself in John chapter 8, verse 57.
Yes.
The response is, whoo, kill him.
Yeah, he's blaspheming.
In John chapter 18, in verses 5 and 6, Jesus answered him. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto him, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon as they had said unto them, I am he, knocked him down to the ground.
Yeah.
They went backward and fell to the ground. Oh, you hear what he said? Now the he in your King James Bible is supplied. It's in italics. The I am, that's the issue. Christ is declaring himself to be the I am.
Yes.
And we have a knucklehead called C. Richard Jordan of the Shorewood Bible Church. Jesus didn't even know who he was until he got baptized. God told him from heaven, thou art my son. Really? What a stupid thing to teach. It's indefensible. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach. That'd be a bright light, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In Psalm 104, in the second verse, we read about who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. I'm reading things here I don't understand. I've never seen them. We're all a flutter. Because there was a solar flare yesterday, and
yeah,
it's going to impact something. Covered with light as a garment. There's things about light that I don't understand. We'll talk next time about science. Science fall in verse 20. But there's something about light. There's something about how God has created things. I try to read things. I got a massive book right now that I'm struggling with, and I said to Carol, this is so far over my head. About chaos and string theory and about fractals. There's something there. But I don't know what it is. What's holding the angels that fell?
Chains of darkness.
Chains of
darkness.
Darkness. What? What would that be? Something about light that I just don't understand. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. In Revelation 22, there's no night, no need of a candle. It's the Lord giveth them light. In Matthew chapter 17, Christ is transfigured. When Paul is saved, Christ shows up, and the brightness of his showing up blinds Paul for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something going on here.
Yes.
Do I understand it? Have I ever seen anything like it? No. I trust my Bible to know that it's so.
Yes.
Not having seen it. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen. Now, here's a great controversy. No man hath seen nor can see. This is supposed to be a contradiction. It's supposed to be a mistake. The question is, since no man can see him, wouldn't that mean Jesus wasn't God?
No.
And the answer is, no. He's the fullness of the Godhead, showing himself in a theophany.
Yes.
Showing himself in an anthropomorphism. Fancy words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tough apples. Learn them. Theo, God. And he's showing up theophany, a visible manifestation of a deity. Examples. Bernie Bush. Okay. Examples would include such things as the burning bush would include such stages. Did God walk with Adam in the garden?
Yes.
I thought God was everywhere. How was he just in the garden? Theophany. It's a manifestation. Christ is such a one.
Yes.
Anthropology is the study of us.
Yes.
So it's morphing. See the word morph? Mm-hmm. Anthropomorphism is a presentation in human form of something that isn't. So Christ is the fullness of the Godhead body. He's God manifest in the flesh. Anthropomorphism. The important thing that I would have you to take away from that is to give your Bible the benefit of the doubt in defining who God is in its own terminology.
Yes.
Rather than going to some Lutheran scholar in 1860.
Amen.
You see, a Lutheran scholar in 1860 grabbed hold of Mark 13, verse 32. And from that, taught something called kenosis, the kenotic theory that Jesus emptied himself. The verse doesn't say that he emptied himself. The verse says he humbled himself.
Yes.
But since the day and the hour knoweth no man, Jesus must be a lesser God. Mark 13:32. When Jesus is speaking all through Mark chapter 13 as the Son of Man, he's not speaking as the Mount of Transfiguration, as the resurrected Christ. He's speaking in an anthropomorphistic position.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to say to you, and Pastor Jordan teaches this too, I'm going to say to you, if Mark 13, verse 32 demonstrates Jesus was ignorant, why would not Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 indicate Jehovah's dumb as a rock?
Good point.
Adam, where art thou? You mean he didn't know?
Of course he knew.
Of course he knew. He created Adam, he created the garden, he created, and by the way, who did the creating? John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, yes. Who's the creator?
Jesus Christ.
Christ is the creator. Apparently, Jesus has fits of bad memory as early as Genesis chapter 3. Now this stuff gets introduced into the grace movement, and a bunch of rookies hear it and say, well, it's something new, so I'll go with that.
Yeah.
And a bunch of folks who don't know enough doctrine, if doctrine were dynamite, they couldn't blow their own nose.
Amen.
So the boat floats when it should never have gotten into dry dock. It just should have been sunk.
Amen.
Oh my. There's so many anthropomorphisms in your Bible. It's amazing. And I'm going to say there's hundreds. People talk about the hand of the Lord. The Bible talks about the hand of the Lord. The Lord got a hand? He's a spirit.
That's right.
What's he doing with a hand? Exodus chapter 24, verse 10. You've got things under his feet. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. He's in the cloud. There's dozens of these. You might not like that use of imagery. May not be your choice. But don't use it to get rid of God or the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That would be silly. In Exodus chapter 30 and verse 20, he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So Christ shows up. doesn't Doubting Thomas famously investigate him?
Yeah.
And he lived.
Yes.
Obviously, you've got then God manifest in the flesh on purpose, and the light that no one can approach being referred to in Exodus, and they're different things.
Yes.
So our Savior is God manifest in the flesh.
He's the creator of all things.
Yes.
He's the Alpha and the Omega, the only potentate. Got a lot of things going on in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The fact that the shortest verse in Bible in your Bible in the English language is Jesus wept. The fact that he wept, does that mean he's not God anymore? So when he does something of a theophany, of an anthropomorphic nature, don't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Paul then returns to the theme of his chapter, and he gets back to teaching Timothy. Remember, three lessons ago, I had for you the old song, "The best things in life are free, but you can save them for the birds and bees. I want money."
Yeah.
Money has been a recurrent theme.
Yes.
And he's about to hit it again.
Yes.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Well, get some exercise jumping to a conclusion. What might be a problem with rich people?
They might be high-minded.
They might be high-minded. They might think they're better than you.
Yes.
And not trust in uncertain riches. But if the riches are uncertain, and you've got a bunch of them, what's likely to be the result of that? You're going to be tight.
Yeah.
You're going to be tight-fisted, are you not? I mean, if they're uncertain, how much would be enough if what you've got is uncertain?
Can't
never have enough, right? So, what do we learn here about rich folks? We learn a lot of things. They're going to be generous when it suits them. And they're going to be real careful about not doing anything that would jeopardize the stash. And they're better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. We have a tremendous debate going on right now about the 1% of the 99. And are we expecting the 1% to say, take it all? I'm not.
No.
Are we expecting the 99% to say, take it all? You redistribute it for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to have 100% that don't agree with that.
Yeah.
My president last night lied.
Yes, he did.
He said Warren Buffett pays taxes at a rate that is about half of what his secretary pays.
Not true. No, not at all.
His secretary pays about 32%. Warren Buffett pays 15%. You say, well, the president was right.
No.
No. Her 32% is the law in the United States of America for ordinary income.
He's right.
His 15% is the law in the United States of America for capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think with me, boys and girls, why would you have this
capital gains, behalf of that. How'd you get this? You invested this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which was taxed once already.
Yes.
So you bought stock. You bought city municipal bonds with money that had been taxed at 32% already.
Yes.
Now you bought this. It gives you interest. You're taxed 15% on the interest. So you actually paid, you can't add percentages, but you paid way more than this little girl ever thought of paying.
Yes.
And if she bought some Kroger stock and it paid her dividends, the lie is he paid at a rate. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't. Whatever capital gains his secretary had would be taxed at exactly the same rate as Warren Buffett's.
Yeah.
Whatever ordinary income Warren Buffett got would be taxed at the exact same rate as his secretary. My Harvard-educated president knows this.
Yes, he does.
Teddy Geithner might not, because he doesn't pay tax.
That's right.
5 years, he forgot. Mm-hmm. You try that. No, mail you a box of sunshine and Leavenworth or wherever they put you. You try that. And I listened to that last night and I thought, no. It's sad. But the man said, without saying it, he couched it in this. He calls it the Buffett rule. What the man said is, I want to double capital gains taxes. That's what he said. But those words never came out of his mouth. All this jibber-jabber did.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, good night, man. There's a reason it's taxed at 15%. They already paid on it once.
Yeah. You say, well, what if he didn't earn it? What if he inherited it?
Really? You've not heard of inheritance taxes?
Yeah.
So, this stocks and all this stuff that Romney owns.
Yeah.
He's got John Zingles. He bought it with money.
He's already paid the thing.
What we're attempting to do is say the haves. It's okay to have. But here's what you need to do. You need to be generous. Yeah. And give to those who have.
Folks,
it's liberation theology. It's Matthew chapter 25 theology.
Yes.
I read both of his books and I listened to what he said last night. I read his osteotomy speech. His osteotomy speech was intended for his audience, not general publication. It's where he trotted out his belief system. If you ask 10 million voters, registered voters, are you aware of the osteotomy speech? How many hands do you think would go up? He trotted it out. He went to where Teddy Roosevelt introduced progressivism, Osawatomie, Kansas. He spoke for 30 minutes, laid it out, it's as plain as a nose on your face. We were a country where the rich were just so greedy. And the rich, they just had to have all this money, and they were just taking advantage of the system. Help me out, man. Are we not of the 99%? Don't we have way too much money on our credit cards? Aren't we the ones that bought a house and we were pretty sure we couldn't pay for it? The guy told us we could, and we wanted it bad enough, but we went by. The whole country is greedy.
Yes.
Don't pick on the 1%.
No.
If the 99% had their way, they'd be recipients of everything the 1%'s got.
Yes.
What does that make the 99%? Greedy.
Yes.
So, anyhow, I do go on and on. Charge them to the rich in this world. I've known some millionaires. goofiest people I ever met in my life. One fellow. Do you remember a carnival when you were a little kid? There was a guy there that had a station wagon backed up, and he had this deck of cards, and he did tricks with it, and he pulled it and it'd be all aces, and he took it again, it'd be all nines, and he took it again, it'd be all threes, and oh, well, get me that. You know, and then he's a barker in a car. Tell me which one is under. Now, he's doing that in the back of his pickup truck. He had a thing he let down, and instead of a tailgate, it was more like a table gate. And he got inside it, and he'd do these things and sell his cards and sell his walnuts. His name, well, he made enough money at carnivals. He bought an ad to put on TV showing him doing it. Well, he sold quite a few decks of cards. The works are cards. One of the work for other things. The guy's name is Ron Popeil. He's the Vegematic, he's the Mincematic, he's the German, he's all that junk that everybody buys and doesn't want to admit it. The Splatter Shield and, you know, all that. The Salad Shooter. Why, there was a whole cartoon that had an Opus. Didn't he have a Salad Shooter every Sunday episode?
Yeah.
He was a very odd guy. Never stopped being a carnival barker. Because he never had enough.
That's it.
And if Vegematic is good enough, then Mincematic's got to be better. And if Mincematic's not good enough, then we're going to have a combination Vegematic, Mincematic, and get this today. He never, ever slowed down. Some people, when they get rich, they still tell you stories about the Depression.
Yeah.
Well, supposing that gain has gotten us, puts you on that track.
Yes, it does.
I remember when I received was a huge promotion and a big raise, and it went from four digits to five. First time I would clear 10 big ones.
Yeah.
$10,000. Woo! What did that mean? Well, better house, better car, more money. Got it. 10's not enough now. It needs to be 11.
Yeah.
Supposing that gain is godliness. The lesson we're going to have to learn. 17 Republican debates. Has anybody mentioned NAFTA?
No.
NAFTA?
No.
Or GATT?
No.
Out of 10 million registered voters, how many were voted for? So, that one was for it. Both Bushes were for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody in this country manufacturing anything can outsource it anywhere on the planet.
Yeah.
And get it made by people who are working for a buck a day.
Yeah.
Ship it over here. If we're going to stick with this way of doing business, we're in for an attitude adjustment that we haven't even begun to sniff.
Yes. Yes.
What this was called back when I was paying attention to conspiratorial theories was trilateralism. That you've got the third world country and they're just absolutely destitute and miserable. They're the Rwandas, they're the Somalias. You've got the second world countries, and that's going to be old Europe, it's going to be Finland, Denmark, and then you've got the first world countries, and that's going to be the U.S., maybe a couple other places, maybe we need all this even. So the way you do that is you open the door.
Yeah.
And now If China can make a car or a boat or something electronic, we can make heaven here, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the difference between our dead fish and their dead fish? Not much, you know. But their people put their dead fish in a can for next to nothing.
Yeah.
And our people and their ecologically correct plant is not allowed to burp, much less smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, supposing that being is godliness is a great danger for a guy like Timothy.
Yes.
And why wouldn't a young fellow just starting out be glad to have some well-heeled folks and to kind of coddle them and look after them? I was talking to a pastor friend of mine that I knew from the bookstore. He had in his congregation a bunch of normal folks and one millionaire.
Yeah.
The one millionaire owned 50 some odd of these gyms you go to with all the equipment and stuff. Something weird happened during the service, and I got the pastor private afterwards and said, you know, I didn't understand why you did that. And he said, oh, that's for Brother So-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I found out he owns all these things. Timothy needs not to do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Timothy's being steered away from doing that. And is it unfair to say that when Mark Cuban buys the Los Angeles Dodgers, he's going to be their spokesman? No, it isn't. So when the millionaire goes to the broken down Baptist church, who's going to be running things pretty soon if Timmy's not careful?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rich guy.
Especially since it works for them wherever they go.
Yeah.
Well, the barber treats them nicer, the dentist treats them nicer, they got more help at the grocery store. I mean, you drive up in your limo and things change.
Yeah.
Paul warns against being high-minded.
Yes.
Now, it would be, I suppose, useful if what the preachers say was a true thing. Preachers like to say, well, you get puffed up, God's got a humbler, and God will humble you. Oh, I don't know about that. I think that's godly intervention and Calvinism being thrown around. Some guys get puffed up in themselves, and it only gets better.
Yeah.
Not everybody has a pond. Narcissus did.
Yeah.
Not everybody has a pond.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissus looked in the pond and saw how beautiful he was.
Mm-hmm.
Fell in the pond and drowned. Not everybody has a pond. There's a few folks who would be better to drown that flesh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul talks about how no man ought to think of himself more highly than he ought. Wow, that's easy to do. When someone compliments you, when somebody tells you how, oh, that's the best I ever heard. I did a message up in Chicago about business. And when I got done and sat down in my third pew, the guy that was there, he said that was the best. It's so easy.
Oh, yes.
I'll be showing you. There's a journal called Areopagus Journal. The Areopagus Journal is a journal of religious apologetics. Areopagus is a hill in Greece where the brightest most intelligent, the knowers and seers would congregate and discuss things. So you suppose the Areopagus Journal might be a bit pompous.
Maybe.
I'm in the Areopagus Journal. I'm high and lifted up.
Well, in the Areopagus Journal, an article was written by a man with more degrees than a thermometer about why dispensationalism will never amount to anything. And my humble self and my humble basic submit as dispensationalism book are referenced in the Areopagus Journal. I've arrived.
Whoa. Do him a footnote.
It's so easy.
Oh, yeah.
Because we want to believe that way.
We want to think we're hot stuff. Well, we're not. Get over it.
So rather than trusting in uncertain riches, we trust in the living God who has given us richly all things to enjoy.
Yes.
It's interesting that most of your new versions remove the word living. How would you do that? Answer, it's a different text. Entirely different text.
Yes, it is.
Is there a church that's got a dead Jesus in every church?
Oh, yeah.
Hanging there on a cross? Oh,
yeah.
That's called a crucifix. The word was first removed by Origen. It's missing in the Alexandrinus, in the Sinaiticus, and in the Coptic texts. It's in more than 400 manuscripts.
Yes.
But, as I tried to tell you and show you in our manuscript discussions, it's all about that one set of critical texts for those books.
Yes.
Now, the Lord Jesus Christ took my sins before them on Calvary's cross. He took my hell. He resurrected, and I get to share his resurrection.
Amen.
We talk about how wonderful heaven's going to be, and then we don't think that we've already signed up. We've signed up for our life to be hid in him now.
Yes.
We have a present possession of the body of Christ now.
Yes.
So, it's good news.
Yes.
Now, they that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute. If you've got a lot of money, you ought to spread it around. The communicate there isn't to have a little chit chat.
No.
Paul talks about communicating when he talks about laying up finances, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about answering for what you do in his body, whether it be good or whether it be bad.
Yes.
All right, mercy. Wouldn't you think we'd be done? Well, there's only two verses left. But verse 20 happens to be one of the three. Paul has three particularly stern warnings. And verse 20 has to be one of them.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that next time. And I don't know if we'll start chapter 1 of 2 Timothy next time or not. But we're close. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.